in January of 1990, a new television show came out for the first time, broadcast over the airwaves of ABC. And this television show was a new show, a show unlike any other television show that had come before it. Some might say this television show was the first reality TV show. Well, the show that I'm thinking of at this time is based on the premise of people capturing humorous events on their home video recordings, on their handheld video recorders, and sending those tapes in where people will watch them, edit them, and put them on television for other people to look at and laugh at as well. The show that I am referring to is America's Funniest Home Videos, which has now been running for over 17 years. That's quite an impressive streak, 17 years of the same show being on television. Now, as I was flying home this past Tuesday, I saw an episode of America's Funniest Home Videos, and I laughed. I enjoyed watching this episode. But you know what? I remember whenever that show was new, 17 years ago. And in witnessing this show just this past Tuesday, I came to the realization that, you know what? They're all really about the same. The same thing happens in about every episode. Some guy's going to get hit with a baseball. Some person's going to be swinging and the swing's going to collapse and they're going to fall to the ground. Some people are going to be sledding, they're going to hit the slope and they're going to go flying off their sled. And the one common thing between most of these videos is that there's pain involved. These people are hurt in some way or another. But yet we laugh. We think it's funny. Now this pain is only temporary. If it was long-term pain, we probably wouldn't think it was funny. But the reason we think it's funny is because, you know what? We've all been there. We've all been hurt. We've all been injured. And for the most part, many of us heal in one way or another. We heal because God has given us this magnificent body that is able to repair itself in some way or another. If we break a bone, our bones heal. If we bruise ourselves, bruises go away. If we get sick, often our bodies will heal themselves with antibodies. Our bodies are truly amazing. God has truly made an amazing thing when He developed the human body, because it has the ability to heal. So this does make it somewhat funny when we see somebody injuring themselves slightly on television. But you know what's not funny? What's not funny is that sometimes there are injuries and there are illnesses that we have nothing that we can do about them. There are times when we get hurt so badly or we get so sick that our bodies cannot fight back. And when it comes to that time, all we can do is pray. Pray to God for healing. So as I sat this past Wednesday in our prayer meeting, the thought was circulating around the group, does Jesus still heal today? And what can we do? What do we do that hinders Jesus' healing ministry? And also the question arose, why is it that sometimes we do not experience healing when we pray to God for healing with faith, with fervent prayers? Why sometimes does God not answer these prayers? Now, I won't pretend to answer all these questions today, but I do want to walk with you through some of the ideas that I have to maybe better understand why God allows these things to happen and why sometimes God does not heal us. So if you have your Bibles with you today, feel free to turn to Luke chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. And listen as I read from the New Revised Standard Version about the story of Jesus' healing. Beginning in verse 10. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. And just then there appears a woman with a spirit that had crippled her for 18 years. She was bent over and was quite unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said, "Woman, you are set free from your ailment." When he laid his hand on her, immediately she stood up straight and began praising God. But the leader of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying to the crowd, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath day. But the Lord answered him and said, You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger, and lead it away to give it water? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, who Satan bound for 18 years long, be set free from his bondage on the Sabbath day? When he said this, all his opponents were put to shame, and the entire crowd was rejoicing at the wonderful thing that he was doing. So I begin today by asking the question, can Jesus heal? And that might seem like a very simple question to us. And I can answer that very easily by asking you a rhetorical question. Do you believe the New Testament? Because if you believe the New Testament, we have ample evidence that Jesus can in fact heal. In this story for today, Jesus witnesses, as he is preaching in a synagogue, a woman walking by. A woman who is crippled, bent over, not able to stand up. And as Jesus sees this woman walking across, he calls over to her. He says to her, Woman, you are set free from your ailment. And as he lays his hand upon this woman, she experiences the power of God through Jesus Christ, healing her body. And she stands up straight and begins to rejoice. She begins to praise God for the healing that she has just experienced. Now, this is not a one-time event that we find just here in Luke chapter 13. As we skim throughout the book of Luke, if we just look at the titles over top of the different sections, we find things such as Jesus cleanses a leper, Jesus heals a paralytic, Jesus teaches and heals, he heals a centurion's child, he heals a Gennesarene demonic, he heals a woman, and he saves a dead girl. Just a quick skim through the New Testament, we find time and time again that Jesus is able to heal people regardless of their ailment, whether it is physical, psychological, or even any other kind of ailment that we can think of. Jesus is not bound by what kind of healing he can do. He can heal people whether they're deaf, mute, blind, whether they have an evil spirit, and he can even bring people back from the dead. There is no limitation to the healing that Jesus has been able to do as shown in the New Testament. Each case, he was able to heal people. But you might read this and say, well, that was then, and this is now. For the sake of easy math, let's say that was about the year 37 AD. Well, today is 2007. 1970 years later, does Jesus still heal people today? Can Jesus still save these people and heal them in some way? Now, as we look at our televisions, we see these people, these healing ministers. They stand up on the stage. They have long lines at the back of the churches of people just awaiting healing. People just waiting to come up to have this minister lay their hands upon them and pray over them to heal them. And as the people come to receive prayers, sometimes they begin to shake. Sometimes they begin to convulse, and they look like a fish out of water. Or perhaps they begin to yell out weird and strange sounds, sounds that are foreign to us. And people see these people coming up for healing. And I know I sit at home and I watch these things, and I think, how much did they have to pay that guy to act like that? How much did they have to pay that guy to pretend to be healed? And how much do they want me to pay to be healed as well? You see, I sometimes find myself being quite skeptical of the healing ministries that I see on TV. And I, like many other Americans, sometimes doubt that these people are truly receiving healing. Because there have been people over the last however many years, there have been televangelists that have led us astray. They have tried to pull the wool over our eyes, but tried to just reach into our pockets and steal from us. There have been these people, and unfortunately they have ruined the name of televangelists, I think, for many people, or at least tainted this name. But I encourage you this morning to not allow a few bad apples to ruin the entire bunch. Amen? Because healing is possible. And even though Jesus Christ is not walking the face of this earth in human flesh today, God still chooses to heal people through other people. God can still heal people through people. Now, the New Testament shows us that it is not just Jesus Christ. It is not just God incarnate that is able to heal people. In Luke 10, when we read about the sending of the 70 missionaries, there, you remember that Jesus paired people up, two by two, and sent them before him to go out and prepare the way. One of the things that Jesus told them to do, was to go out and heal people. And even after Jesus died and was raised again, we continue to see that God works through his people to bring healing to people. We read the story about Peter and John. As they're going to the temple to pray one day, they come back past the gate that is called Beautiful. And there's just a paralytic man. A man who is not able to get around, and he makes his money just by begging. And when Peter and John see this paralytic man, Peter delivers one of the most beautiful speeches that I've ever heard. Probably my favorite speech from the book of Acts. And I like the way that the King James Version says it, so I'll recite it as best as I can from memory from the King James Version, where he says to the paralytic man, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, so I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, raise up and walk." And you know what? The man does just that. And he does more than just get up and walk. He begins to leap for joy because he has been healed. And this ministry of Peter begins to spread, and people hear about the way he is able to bring healing to the people. And people begin to line up that need healing, just along the sides of the streets, so that when his shadow is cast upon them, that they might be able to heal, that they might be able to receive healing. God has chosen to heal people even today through his followers, through his people. God has chosen to heal people through his people. Now, when we find somebody that needs prayer, we pray for them. A few minutes ago, we had a pastoral or congregational prayer, and we prayed for those who are in need, people who are in need of healing, people who are not able to heal themselves naturally and are in need of God's special care. And sometimes we even get out these bottles of oil, and we pour some on top of people's head and anoint them, because we believe that the prayers of the righteous people shall bring about healing for God's people. Now, if we do not believe that this truly works, then why are we doing it? If we do not truly believe that God will heal his people through his people, then why waste our time? Because when we stop believing that it's working, we're doing nothing but wasting our time. Because when we stop believing it works, it stops working. Which brings me to my second question for this morning. How can we hinder Jesus' healing ministry? Now in our story, in our scripture reading for today, in verse 14, we read about the synagogue leader. When Jesus came to the synagogue and he began to heal this woman, the synagogue leader became indignant. He was upset. And what was the reason for his being upset? What did he claim it was? He said, well, Jesus is healing on the Sabbath. Jesus was healing on the Sabbath, and the synagogue leader became indignant. Well, we often say that when someone complains, the problem is rarely the problem. The thing that they say is wrong is really the issue that they're having with what just complained. And I believe that the synagogue leader really wasn't that upset that Jesus healed on the Sabbath. What he was really upset about was that this man named Jesus was gaining a following. He was perhaps jealous or upset. Regardless of why he was upset, he did not want people to follow Jesus Christ. So he said that he could not heal on the Sabbath. He tried to be a hindrance, an obstacle to Jesus' healing ministry. But as we look on to the next verse, the next chapter, the beginning of chapter 14, we see that Jesus heals a man with dropsy. So this obstacle must not have been that huge of an obstacle to Jesus and his healing ministry. He was able to overcome this obstacle. He was able to overcome the synagogue leader who tried to keep Jesus from healing. But do you know that each and every one of us has a weapon that we can wield against Jesus Christ to stop him in his tracks, to keep his healing ministry down. Not that we would want to do that, but we do do that. Because we have this weapon that we can use against Jesus Christ's healing ministry. And we use it all too often. And that weapon that we use is our lack of faith. Remember the story of when Jesus went back to his hometown of Nazareth. And when he was preaching it in the synagogue there, Jesus read out the book of Isaiah. And the people there said, "Who does he think he is? Is this not the son of Mary and Joseph? Are not his brothers and sisters here with us here today? This guy is nothing more than one of us. And he claims to be something special." These people had a lack of faith. They did not believe in what Jesus was saying or what Jesus was doing. And it says in Matthew chapter 13, "And he did not do many deeds of power there because of their unbelief." He didn't do many miracles because the people didn't believe in him. Now, it does not say that he could not do any miracles. I need to emphasize that for you today. It never says that he could not do miracles, but it says he chose not to do miracles because of their unbelief. There's nothing that we can do to keep Jesus from having all the power that he possesses. We can't stop Jesus because Jesus is more powerful than any one of us. But he chose not to do miracles because of their unbelief. The largest hindrance that we can give to Jesus' healing ministry is a lack of belief, a lack of faith, and a lack of trust. This is the largest obstacle that we can place in his way. So we can deter Jesus, we can hinder him in his healing ministry just by not believing. Now my third and final question for this morning is, why does God not always answer our prayers for healing? Or why does he answer with a no? Now this is one of the toughest questions anybody could ever ask a Christian. If we believe in an all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty God, why doesn't he heal us? Why doesn't he save us from pain and agony when we are sick and hurting? And this is a tough question, and I don't pretend to have all the answers, but I offer a few to you at this time. We all know Florence's story. And I've got her permission to tell the story again today. We know that Florence got the bad news last January or so, that she did in fact have what so many people fear, that she did experience breast cancer. And we all knew what that meant for her. We knew what was coming for Florence. We knew that she would have to undergo surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. So nobody wants to go through those things. Nobody wants to experience that kind of, can I say agony? At times. She's nodding. Nobody wants to go through that. So we sat Florence down on a chair right here on a Sunday morning, and we took out this bottle of oil and we anointed her. We laid hands upon her and we prayed for her that God would heal her at this time, at this place, that God, if it is your will, heal Florence. Well, she didn't experience a healing right there and then. She still had to undergo surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation. She still had to go through these things, even though they were difficult. But as I said to you earlier, God chooses to work through God's people today. Yes, God could have healed her right then and there, but God has provided other ways for her to be healed as well. And I believe that God works through his people through modern medicine as well. If Florence had been born during the time of Jesus Christ, her cancer would have never been detected. They probably didn't even have a name for cancer at that time, let alone treatments. Think of the way God has been with us, developing modern medicine in ways that we can use to treat people and their illnesses today. God has allowed human beings the knowledge and capacity to learn and develop new treatments and ways to find illnesses early on, to early detect these things, so that people can experience healing. Now, when we talk about finding a cure for cancer, We never say that somebody invented a cure for cancer, do we? Well, obviously it hasn't happened yet, but we don't talk about inventing a cure for something. We talk about finding a cure. Because all the modern treatments that we have today are just different ways of combining the things that God has provided for us in a way that is beneficial. If we look at, in the chemistry room at some random school, we see on the wall often what is called the periodic table of elements. Carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, these all have their own position on this table. These are the elements that God has created. There are approximately 117 of these elements. Now, there have been a few man-made elements, but they're unstable. They last for a fraction of a second and they're gone. But we have these 117 elements that God has created. Man has only made a few other elements, but they're really worthless. It's just about saying, well, I made something new. So we have what God has created, and the modern medicine that we have today is just a matter of finding out how to combine these God-given elements, these elements that God created thousands of years ago. When we find a cure or find a treatment, it's just a matter of combining these elements in a way that is beneficial to human beings. So I believe firmly that God works today to heal His people through other human beings and the works of modern medicine. Now earlier I said that sometimes our lack of faith can be a hindrance to our healing. Now there would be some people that would say if you have not been healed, that that is a sign of a lack of faith. And there are some cases where that might be true. But try telling people that it is their lack of faith that is keeping them sick. Try going to some third world country in Africa. Go to Swaziland, where they have some of the highest percentage of people infected with HIV and AIDS. And tell these people that are on their deathbed that if only they had more faith that they would be saved, that they would be healed and made whole by God. My wife, Sonia, works at Woodrow Wilson Rehab Center, where she works with quadriplegics, people that have spinal cord injuries and can't use their arms or their legs as well as they should be able to. Try going to these people and saying, if you only had faith, God would make you walk again. Ronald and Mim are off visiting their son, who has, they have a grandson now, 4 months of age, that has had open heart surgery at 4 months old. Try going through the cardiac ward at Johns Hopkins University in the pediatrics section and telling the parents that if they only prayed harder, their children would be saved, that they would be healed. Now, when these things work out as we want them to, when these people are healed, that gives us a strength in our faith. That gives us stronger faith and helps us to walk better with God. But you know what? God chooses sometimes to not heal people. If we tell somebody that if they just had faith that God would have healed them, and that person does not make it, or they do not heal, imagine what that does to their faith. It tears them apart. It can wreck their relationship with God. It can wreck their relationship with any other Christians. It is not beneficial to tell somebody that the only reason that they have not been healed is because they have a lack of faith. Now, as I think about people from the New Testament, I often reflect upon the Apostle Paul. Rarely has there ever been stories told of another man who has more faith than the Apostle Paul. By faith, the Apostle Paul gave up a career as a Pharisee and a career as a persecutor of the religious Christians. Paul gave all this up, fame and prestige, to be one of the ones that he was actually persecuting, to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And in his persecution, Paul was put in jail, he was tortured, and he was one day eventually killed for his faith. Now, Paul was a man of faith that cannot be denied. But what can we learn from Paul about healing? As we look at 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 7 through 8, we read these words of the Apostle Paul. He says, therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan that tormented me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Paul appealed to the Lord three times for healing. He asked God three separate times, take this thorn from my flesh. Was there ever a man with more faith than Paul? Perhaps, but perhaps not. But Paul was not healed. This thorn was not relieved from him. It was not taken away from him. God does not always choose to heal people. And we may not understand why he does or does not heal those around us. We may not understand why he chooses to heal one and not another. But it is God's choice. And we must rest assured in his promise that his grace is sufficient for us. All of us have lost someone before we were ready to let go of them. Somebody that we held dear in our lives. Somebody that we loved and we weren't ready to say goodbye. And this is especially on my heart right now. It's just this past week we said goodbye to Sonia's grandmother, Bernice Sider. Now, Bernice was a woman of prayer. She was a woman of faith. She was a woman of God. And when she got her heart catheterization results back, and they said that this woman was going to need triple bypass surgery. But there was more bad news that her cancer had returned. You better believe that she began to pray. And you better believe that there were people across the entire Midwest praying for this woman. Praying that she would be healed. People were praying with faith. And fervent prayers were offered on her behalf. But she died anyway. There's a common chapter and verse reference from James chapter 5, verses 13 through 17, that we read whenever there is somebody who needs healing. We often read this at healing services and anointing services. And I'm going to read it for you right now, beginning in verse 13. Are any among you suffering? They should pray. Are any cheerful? They should sing songs of praise. Are any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. The prayer of faith will save the sick. Now I ask you this morning, when this is written by James, is he speaking about an earthly healing or a heavenly healing? He doesn't say specifically which kind of healing we will experience. But I know for a fact that people have prayed over those who have been sick, and they have died anyway. They have not been healed in a physical manner. So I believe that this does open the door, that this can be a spiritual healing as well. One day when Jesus does come back, when he does return, he will go to those and he will judge the living and the dead. And those who have been faithful servants of his, those who have known him as their Lord and Savior, will be given a new body. In that moment, all of our sicknesses, our unhealthiness, are things that are keeping us from being whole. All those things will be taken away, and we will be healed. Now, when we read through this, we see that the prayer of the faithful will save the sick. It reflects upon what Paul said to us, what God spoke to Paul when he said, my grace for you is sufficient. Perhaps we will not see healing on this earth. But God says, my grace is sufficient. Perhaps it will come some other day. Perhaps it will come when Jesus comes back. And we are given a new body. So in conclusion this morning, I just ask the question again. Can Jesus heal? And the answer to that question is, if we let him, and if we're open to different ideas of how Jesus will work through other people, that we see every day that Jesus does heal people. Does it mean that if we don't see healing, that it's a lack of faith? Sometimes it is the case. But there are other times when God just says, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is sufficient. Jesus Christ has promised that when he comes back, he will make all things new. All of us will be restored one day. All of us will have a new body, and we will truly be healed. Will you please join me in a word of prayer? Our gracious and loving God, we don't fully understand, do we? We don't know why you allow some people to suffer and why others are healed. But you are God and we are not. And your grace is sufficient for us. Lord, this life is but a mist. It's here one day and gone the next. But your promise for eternal life resonates within each of us. Each of us can know you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, may we understand what you mean when you say, my grace for you is sufficient. It's in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.